Bible Girl podcast. I'm Jessica Robinson, and I've gathered my Bible, my journal, some study tools, and highlighters in every color for study time. From the practical to the inspirational, I pray that these podcasts give you the tools and motivation to be a Bible girl too. Greetings and salutations. Welcome to today's podcast. We're talking about level 3 Bible study today. Before we jump into it, though, I wanted to just remind you of something that I've said several times now in this Bible study section, that I divided them into levels more for time than I did for skill. I think that any of these methods that you learn are going to feel a little awkward at first, and you're going to grow in your own ability and skill to do them. So I don't think that you need to steer clear from a level 2 or a level 3 kind of study. But what the levels really represent is time. The first level 1, are things that you could just do in a few moments. You could read 3 verses and ask the question, what does it say about God? And then what should I do because of it? That's pretty simple. You could do that in a very short amount of time, and then you can go on to the next passage. The level 2 studies are going to take a little bit longer. They're probably going to take you maybe 15 minutes to 30 minutes to work through those questions. But once you're finished, you'll be ready to move on to the next passage the next day. But a level 3 study is a little different. A level 3 study is going to require significant time. I mean that you're going to need to spend time either all at once, several hours, depending on the passage size you choose, all the way up to, you know, several hours at one time, all the way up to breaking it down and maybe studying 15, 20 minutes a day for 6 or 7 or 8 or 10 days, depending on the length of the passage. So this level 3 study, which is, I think, basically there's not even really a name for this level. This is just traditional Bible study that's taught in seminaries and Bible colleges and in churches all over the world. This type of method is going to require you to stay in a passage longer. Those of you that only have 20 minutes a day can still certainly do this method. In our very next podcast, next week when I talk about reading plans and resources for Bible study, I will talk a little bit about an author and a podcaster called Katie Orr, who has a way of, she's kind of taken this traditional method of Bible study and broken it down in such a way that you do a different thing each day for 5 days in the same passage. So you will do something, you know, kind of similar to that. You can also just pick, go from heading to heading in your Bible and just spend as much time as it takes to go through the process. It is a drilling down into Scripture. You're not getting a surface overview of it. You're really unpacking what's in there. And this method that I am going to present to you today, and the outline that I give you in your notes to kind of give you some structure to your study, is adapted from a couple of things. First of all, the basic 3-part structure of it I learned in college many years ago, and that's how I began to study God's Word. But some of the stuff that is listed under each section came from an excellent book, I cannot recommend it enough, by a man named Howard Hendricks. It's called Living by the Book, and you can find it on Amazon, lots of different places. It's still in print. It has been revised several times and has been widely handed out and sold. I think that many colleges use it as a textbook. Howard Hendricks was actually a professor who taught Bible study in his seminary classes at Dallas Theological Seminary, and many colleges since have taken his book and used it in their own classes to teach students. I have taught it several times. I've taught it in class structure. I've also taught it one-on-one with people, and everyone that's ever used it has really been thankful that they had the book to help them. The book is a great resource. Even though he was a pretty smart man, and even though he was very gifted in Bible study, he's also very gifted at being able to present material in a way that's easy to understand and that's entertaining. And I feel like his book is just easy to read, and he gives lots of practice. There's little things where he'll explain something, and then he'll give you an example, and then he'll say, you try it. And then he'll give you a few verses that you can practice that on. And I found that especially helpful the first time I read the book, and the people that I've taught in the class have found it very helpful as well. So if this method, as we talk about it, sounds like something that you would like to try, I would encourage you to pick up a copy of that book and use it kind of as your guide as you learn, because I think you'll find it to be a great asset to your study time. Now, as I said before, this particular study does not have a name necessarily. My assistant pastor calls it the OYA method, which is the sound that you get when you take the first letter of each of the headings and put it all together. It creates this three vowel word, which doesn't really make any sense and sounds kind of weird when you say it, but he calls it the OYA method. This is OIA, which stands for observation, interpretation, and application. So I'm going to go through just briefly what those mean, and then we'll talk a little bit about how you do a study like this. So the first one is observation, and that's where you look at the text and you ask the question, what does it say? When you do this part, you want to read the passage several times, and I think it's really important to make sure that you pray before you read. The Holy Spirit will illuminate the word to you, and he will help you understand what you read. And so I believe that it's really important that you invite him along and acknowledge the fact that you need his help. And also, when it comes to the last step of this, when we talk about, you know, how are we using this in our own lives, the Holy Spirit can direct you to what is important for you to notice at this moment in this stage in your life. I don't know if you've ever experienced where you will study a passage and something wonderful and so applicable to you seems like that's all the passage is screaming about, and you're just so thankful that God gave you this answer or gave you this direction. And then several years later, you read the verse and you get something completely different out of it. That's the Holy Spirit. He is guiding you to what the scripture says, and he's illuminating your own life in light of the scripture. So you start by prayer, and then you start to read the passage several times. I would encourage you to read it several times slowly so that you get the grasp of what he's talking about. And then you would begin to ask what I call reporter's questions. I took journalism in college and kind of wanted to be an investigative reporter many, many years ago. And I really have always thought in terms of these questions when I study something or investigate something or I have to research something. You think of these questions, they're the who, what, where, when, why, and wherefore, which kind of answers the question, so what? So you tend to take a look at the who, you know, who is he talking to? Who is he talking about here? Who is this person that was mentioned? What's going on? What is this thing he's mentioned? What is this feast that I don't know and I've never heard of that before? What is this thing? Where is this taking place? Where is he at when he's writing? Why is he writing to them right now? When is this taking place? When does he want them to apply this thing that he's just told them? Why does any of this matter to me? Why did this matter to them? These are all questions that you can begin to ask, the who, what, where, when, why, and wherefore questions. As you begin to answer those questions, you just take some notes in your notebook and write down, I just usually just bullet point some things that I learn at the very beginning of the session. These are my observations, just some random things that I've learned. Make a note of any sentence structure and grammar. You're going to look for connectors that show dependence upon each other. These are your words like therefore, or because, or but, or and. They're going to show that there's more to the story than just the part before or after that word, that they need to be viewed together. Notice verb tenses that show when or how the action is being performed. There's several verses that come to my mind that really make a difference in understanding the tense of the verb. Now, I'm a grammar nerd, and I was an English and journalism major in college, so I love grammar, and I used to have to diagram entire chapters of the Bible. I'm not sure that many of you listening even know what diagramming sentences is anymore, and I'm not sure that we do that, but that was something that was very big when I was in school and in college. I diagrammed whole entire sections of the Bible. What that helped me to do, though, was to understand some verses in a way that was really fresh. You do not need to diagram them, and you do not need to necessarily be a grammar nerd or really good at English to notice the tenses of the verb. Many times it will tell you if this is something that's already been done or something that's coming in the future. Verb tenses are important to note, but I don't think that you have to necessarily be an expert in grammar to catch all of the important ones. Pay attention to prepositional phrases that give additional information to the subject or verb. And those sentence structure things are things that some people are going to notice more than others. It's not a big deal if you don't catch one or there's something that doesn't really stand out to you. These are just little things that you can look for as you're asking your reporters questions. There's also some clues that you can follow, and these clues came directly from Howard Hendricks. I thought they were excellent. You should look for things that are emphasized, things that you just seem like it almost feels like they're screaming it off the page at you, things that are repeated. You know, you look for words that are used over and over in one passage, things that are related to each other, things that are alike or unalike, and things that are true to life. Things that, you know, might have been going on back when Paul wrote this, you know, in the few years after Jesus' resurrection and ascension to heaven, but they're also very true to our life today. Pay attention to those kinds of things and make notes about what you find. He also encourages you to organize your observations in a chart, and I find that can be helpful sometimes, and then sometimes I get so involved in the chart that I lose sight of what I'm actually studying. So if you're the kind of person that does good with charts, then that might be helpful to do. When you've looked it over and you've observed everything that you can see, there's just whatever you notice, write it down. Mark it up and write it down. Then you move on to asking yourself, what does all this mean? And that's the second step, which is interpretation. So I see what it says, but now I need to understand it. I can't just observe. I need to make sure that I'm understanding how they connect with each other and how it fits into my life. And so in the interpretation section, we begin to take a look at some things like context. Context is very important, making sure that I know what happened right before this passage and that when I'm finished, I move right on to the next section so I'm getting the full context of this passage. This is where we look up words. We ask ourselves, is there anything that I should look up somewhere else, something that doesn't make sense to me? This is where we look up words in the Strong's Concordance for our Greek and our Hebrew. This might be where you just open up a regular dictionary and make sure you're getting certain words correctly, that you're understanding what they mean. Also, this is where you could look up cross-references and see where this word or that particular phrase is used in other places of the Bible. You can also look up cultural references. Do you understand when Jesus talks about three sparrows being sold for a penny and that we are worth more than that? Do you know what that means? Does that make any sense to you? There's cultural things that meant something to the people who heard them, but they might not mean anything to you unless you look those up. Is there a tool that you could consult? Interpretation often involves trying to figure out what you think and then using some kind of concordance or handbook or commentary or dictionary to help clarify that or maybe to show you if you were on the right track or not. You could also pay a notice to the language that's used. Is there figurative language? Are they using something that's not meant to be taken literally, but they're actually using some type of grammatical structure that's very figurative? And then, you know, is it written what kind of literary style is it? Because that will depend on how you interpret it. If it's exposition or if it's wisdom, you're going to interpret it a little bit differently than you are going to about biography or narrative. Parables are going to be interpreted very differently than poetry. You're going to find out what they mean, often based on their literary style. This might all sound confusing, but I think it's a little more intuitive than you think. When you sit down to study and you go through these interpretation section in your handout or on your study bookmark, it's gonna give you some questions. It'll say, you know, are there any terms I need to look up? What's happening before this? Are there anything I need to understand more about? And so as you begin to ask those questions of the text and you get your notes in, then you can begin to go to other sources if necessary or read further in the passage to make sense of what you're reading. Interpretation is where we decide, what does it mean? Is it just, you know, it isn't just enough to see what's there. We have to make some sense of it. When it gets to the application section, we're really asking the question, how does it work? And there's a bunch of questions to ask. These also on your handout came from Howard Hendricks. Is there an example to follow, a sin to avoid, a promise to claim, a prayer to repeat, a command to obey, a condition to meet, a verse to memorize, an error to mark, or a challenge to face? And remember, as I've said in many podcasts when we talk about application, the obvious application is always something that I need to do. I need to start doing something differently because of this scripture. And many, many times that is the truth when it comes to Bible study. But also, let's not forget that God also wants you to think differently, and He also wants you to be a different kind of person. He is creating you into the image of His Son, and not all of that is external. Not all of that are things that the world can see by the choices that you make. Many of them are internal. They are ways that God is shifting your thought patterns, that He's shifting the things that you cling to, your priorities. A lot of those things happen internally before they happen externally. So don't necessarily assume that an application has to be lived out in a way that's visible to all around you. Many times, God is just changing your heart, changing your perspective, changing the way you think. And then the behavior changes will come as you begin to think in that new way. So application doesn't always have to be a specific action. You can ask yourself the question, is there some area of my life where this truth is needed? What I've just learned here, is there some area of my life that I need to take that truth and apply it to that? And that will tell you how the scripture works out in life. Now, that seems like a lot, and I understand that, and there's really no way in a short podcast that I can explain this whole process. So I'm going to give you a few things to kind of give you some help along the way. The first thing is I do recommend getting this book by Howard Hendricks, Living by the Book. There are two other books I would recommend that don't traditionally follow this observation, interpretation, application framework, but pretty much are that same method. And one of them is the book Discover the Bible for Yourself by Kay Arthur. That book has a section for every single book of the Bible. It tells you all kinds of information about it. It tells you when it was written. It tells you the main themes. It tells you what to look for. In this case, it kind of does a little bit of the work for you because it will tell you, hey, there's a lot in here in this book about the tabernacle. So pay attention to that. And she will even go so far as to say, you know, mark these things in blue or mark these things in orange or circle these things. And that kind of helps give you a little bit of a framework, especially for people who are new to this method of study. She has charts in there that you can use to fill out as you study a book. You can write down key themes and things that you learn along the way. And I have used that book for various methods of study quite a bit. So I think that it would help you, and I would encourage you to check that out. Another more maybe fun version, but certainly not any less theologically sound, is A Modern Girl's Guide to Bible Study by Jen Hatmaker. In it, she gives a list of questions that you can ask the text, and it is a massive list. It is a lot of of questions, but they're divided into categories. And if you actually were to go through them and go through the list of questions, not necessarily asking every single question of every passage, but asking questions from each section of the passage, I think you'll find that you're actually working through the observation, interpretation, and application questions that would come to your mind as you study. And I think that you'll find the way that she's broken those questions down, it provides a little more structure than this three question or three area framework that I've given you. This is especially helpful for those who struggle really understanding the right questions to ask. I have found, I have used this method some myself, and I do actually carry a copy of the questions. I printed all of them out at the very end of the book. I typed them all up and I keep them with me. I found that when I use it myself or teach it with other people, eventually you no longer really need the questions. They really help you understand the kinds of questions that you can ask a text to get the answers that you're looking for. And once you learn those kinds of questions and you've used it a while, they kind of become second nature when you read the passage. So this is something that I think would really help you get a handle on it, but it's not something that you're going to need, I don't believe, long term. I have used this method in private discipleship with women a lot, and I have found in every case that eventually we rely on the list of questions less and less. And usually I know that's a good time for them to start discipling someone else, is when they don't need to read those questions and look at the text anymore. When they look at the text and they immediately begin answering those questions because they're already in their head. I think that book would help you as well. In the interpretation section, we talk about consulting some helps, a Bible dictionary, concordance, a Bible handbook, commentaries, atlas, things like those. We're going to talk a little bit about those next week. Next week, what I'm going to do is I'm going to share with you some of the resources that I recommend for reading plans and for books that could help you to study. And so next week, if you are ready to jump into Bible study, you have a method you want to try, I'm going to give you some things I think that will help you, some resources. Next week is what we're going to be talking about. I'm also going to be starting to post on social media, on my Instagram and in our Facebook group, some of my own notes from studying this method. Tomorrow, I'll be starting a new study in the book of 1 Peter, and I'm going to be posting photos of it as I go so that you can see some of the process of observation. And I'm a little bit nervous about that because I end up sometimes feeling like it's a little boring for people to look at, but I think for some of you that might want the help, I'm willing to put it out there, even though it's a little vulnerable showing my things that I find interesting about the Bible. Maybe someone else might think are dumb, but I think that it would help you to see that, and I hope that it would encourage you to give this a try. So I'll be posting some of those things to help you. And we will also do a Q&A on this as well through my Instagram. So if you follow me on Instagram, keep track of that. I probably will have that a little bit later this week. If you get the show notes, if you print those out, you'll find this method that I talked about today in the show notes. And you'll also find a bookmarker that you can cut out and you can put in your Bible that has all of the notes on it so that you can have it handy. I'll be working on bookmarkers like that for all the Bible study methods that I have done through this series, and they will be in the updated files once the series is over and I clean everything up and get it all good to go for you. Lastly, I just wanted to mention that we do still have several more weeks of this. We are going to cover just a couple other topics, and then I'm going to have a week or two where we kind of put it all together, and that week will coincide with the first video on my YouTube channel where I'll be showing you my Grace book and how I work through mine. And I'm really looking forward to that wrapping up the series. Not that I want the series to go away, but because I feel like the end is really where you're going to get your motivation and some help in how to put all this together into something that you can use to begin and end your day with God. I would encourage you to get those show notes and read through this, and certainly get the book, Living by the Book, to help you. I think that this is a method that will pay off. I think it will feel a little bit like you're swimming upstream at first. But please give it a try and stick with it. I do believe that God's word has powerful things for your life. And I think the deeper that you're willing to dig, the more likely it is that you're going to find the good stuff that God has for you. Bible study is certainly a discipline that requires time, it requires patience, it requires us to give ourselves a lot of grace to do it poorly and to continue on anyway. Know that when you first try a skill, it never feels right. You always have to practice, practice, practice. That is not a bad thing. That's the way it's designed to work. So please, I would encourage you not to give up too soon. All right, we're going to keep going with this Grace Book series in the weeks to come. I look forward to sharing more with you, and I hope that God blesses your week.
Thanks for listening. Go to BibleGirlPodcast.com to email me, download show notes, sign up for my newsletter, print the monthly scripture writing lists, and listen to past episodes. Join the Bible Girl Facebook group to get the latest podcast news and to interact with me and other listeners. I'm all over social media as Jessie L. Robinson. That's J-E-S-S-I-L Robinson. I'd love for you to friend or follow me. Join me again for another episode of Bible Girl.